We spent a couple weeks looking at one judge in particular. His name was Gideon, if you remember that. Judges 13, we'll see another judge that God used. But really this evening, we aren't going to look at him. But can anybody tell, either in Judges 13 or the following, real quickly, which judge we'll be looking at here as we study a little bit here? Yes, Samson. So we are not looking at Samson tonight, though. We are looking at his mother, and his mother's name is unknown. And his father's name, if you look closely, you can see that there. Hang on a second here. I'm just going back and forth while I'm talking, so I got to get to Judges here. Okay, here we go. So we see his dad's name is Manoah, right? And something like that. We think about Samson. How many of you have ever heard of his dad's name before, or at least remember hearing of it? If you've read through the Bible, you know you've read it. But anybody remember it? Okay, good. One, two, right? So it's like, man, I don't remember that name. His mom's name. I mean, that's an unknown name. It's Manoah's wife. And we think through some of that. It's interesting. Once again, like the book of Judges goes on and on in circular motion and fashion, what does verse number one say? And the children of Israel did what? Evil when? Again! Like, come on! So they did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Now, couldn't we stop and put our name in there? Like, not just the United States of America, but Josh Swearingen did evil in the sight of the Lord again. Again, put your own name in there. I mean, that's what we do. We go back and we choose our own way. And it's interesting to look at this. They did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines. How many years? 40 is a long time. Now, it's interesting to think about some of the numbers in the Bible and ways that God used it. 40, we see that quite a bit, don't we? In a number of different Bible historical events there. I think of even the flood. And 40 days and 40 nights it rained. So many other times we can see that number 40. But here they were delivered into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. We're talking about the Philistines somewhat in Sunday school class here in the auditorium as we're dealing with King Saul. And it just seems like, man, these Philistines are constantly attacking and constantly a problem. Verse 2, while all of this was going on, God did not forget his people, did he? And aren't you thankful that God doesn't forget us despite the difficult situations in life that sometimes we find ourselves in? That sometimes we wonder, why, God? God, why would you allow me to go through this? And again, remember, we're talking about specifically what word are we looking at on Wednesday nights as we go through the Bible here. Fruitfulness, right? Being fruitful on which day? Thursday, right? Because tomorrow morning starts another day, and God expects us to be fruitful on Thursday. But as we look at Judges 13 and we see Manoah's wife, really I want us to think about this whole aspect of being fruitful in barrenness. Being fruitful in barrenness. Now, what does it mean to be barren? What do you think of? Okay. Can't have any children. That's the first thought that comes to our mind. So I looked this up in the dictionary, and granted it says not reproducing, such as incapable of producing offspring, especially used of females, a barren woman. But it also goes on and says of plants, habitually failing to bear fruit, like a barren apple tree. What would you do with a barren apple tree year after year after year, Phil? You would, because it's not profitable, right? I mean, so we think through some of these things. Whoa, barren, man, if it's barren, it's unprofitable. And then what goes on in the dictionary went on and it said, producing little or no vegetation, like barren deserts. There's not really much out there. Arizona. You get out to some of those parts in Arizona, and it's pretty barren, isn't it? And thinking through some of those aspects. But then also it says unproductive of results or gain, like a barren scheme. Man, it didn't accomplish what I tried to accomplish. In our lives, we find so many different types of barrenness. You may say, but I've not been barren when it comes to kids. But there's so many other types of barrenness. What are we barren in right now? What in our life is there just like, God, why? Why am I having to sit here and wait? Why am I going through this difficult trial and it just seems like nothing is going on? Well, one, God wants us to remember that we can be fruitful in the midst of that time. And we see that here very specifically. Look at verse 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. I mean, talk about double repetitive. Like, I mean, this is a real fact. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren. And she's like, I know, right? I mean, she already knew this fact, but it's very interesting. The angel of the Lord says, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. So in other words, you're barren. You haven't had any kids. And she's, I know. But the exact opposite is going to happen. I want you to think about this for a second. In the Bible, when we think about barren women, who are some of the ones you think of? Okay, Sarah. Right. Sarah, she had no kids. And God said, okay, you will have one. And what'd she do? She laughed. I mean, she's too old. How many of you would love to have a kid in 9 months, right? I mean, it's like, no, I'm past that age. Some of you are like, that was like 80 years ago, but not now. I mean, and so we go through some of those different things. And when we think of Sarah, she was going through that. Who's someone else? Okay, Elizabeth in the New Testament with, what's her son's name? John the Baptist. She was barren, and yet God gave her a baby. Right, someone else said someone? Rachel. And just, why? Why am I going through this? And yet, didn't God use Joseph in an incredible way? Who else? Okay, Hannah. Why? Why can't I? God gives her a son, and she gives him back to God. I mean, the list could go on, and we could talk about so many others. But the reality is, when we see these barren women, what does God do? He does the miraculous. Now, I want to be careful as we say that. There are women today who are barren and they can't have kids. And they've tried and they've prayed and they've sought God's face. And it seemed like back in Muskegon in our church, we had a handful of ladies who could not have kids. And just, they were, I mean, seeking God. And God, why can't we? And that doesn't mean that, okay, so they're going to have a baby someday. But the reality is that God does something special through barren women, if they allow him to. And I see that with these ladies here, that he used them with the baby that he had given them. And it wasn't about the woman being known. Because when we think of the story of Rachel and Joseph, who do we think of more so? Joseph. When we think of Hannah and Samuel, who do we think of more so? Samuel. When we think of Elizabeth and John the Baptist, who do we think of more so? John the Baptist. When we think of Manoah's wife or Samson, who do we think of? Samson. I mean, and so it was nothing about the woman. It was everything about God working through the barrenness and being glorified. And as you and I go through barren times of life, I want us to remember that God wants to be glorified through our barrenness and our brokenness. It's not always easy. In fact, I mean, the struggles that these women went through. Barren. Why can't I have kids? And seeking God. Hannah going and just pleading with God. So much so that what did Eli think she was? Drunk. I mean, why would you come drunk to the temple of God? She wasn't, I mean, she was just pleading and broken before God. In our barrenness, we need to be broken before God. That doesn't mean God's going to miraculously fix that situation, but he will be glorified through that situation and wants to use it. Just like the young lady we read about in the Lansing Rescue Mission letter tonight. God wanted to work through her. Not that he wanted her to be homeless. Oh, God's a mean God, wanted her home. No, God wanted to be glorified. And God used her sickness and all of these struggles, and I don't know the whole background, but what did we get to see tonight? We got to praise God for her and what God had done. And so we see the same with Manoah's wife. She is broken. And as you and I go through difficult times of life and barren times, it seems like we're so dry and empty, and what is going on? Number one, I want us to remember that God cares about you. God cares about you. God cared about Manoah's wife. Think about it. You can have an insignificant background. Well, I'm not related to some president. I'm not related to some senator. I'm not related to some famous preacher. I'm not related to whomever it may be. I'm a nobody. Aren't you like me too? Maybe one of you are famous, but I'm a nobody. But that doesn't matter to God, because God cares about you. I mean, look at this. Verse number 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. So who is she? We don't even know. Manoah's wife. She had some huge, significant background? No. You know, when we think of the lineage of Christ, we follow through and see some of the names that are mentioned. Who is she? But God cared about her. And man, I think that's such a reminder. Sometimes we think, I'm so insignificant, does God even care? We get so lost sometimes in that. But when we're in our barren times of life, we must remember God cares about you. You can have an insignificant background. It doesn't matter to God. You can have problems in life, and God cares about them. Think about the physical problem that she's going through here. Her physical problem is what? Barrenness. But did God care? Did he care? He did. Because he had a specific plan for her. And actually, couldn't God have given Samson to her before this time and she never would have been barren, and God could have still used Samson in a great way? Yes. But God wanted to be glorified in a special way through her life and her response to her struggles. How many of you enjoy struggles? I don't. I hate them. I wish they'd get over. But it's through those struggles God wants to be glorified. And that was the same with Manoah's wife. God cared about her. God cared about the problems she had. The end result of God's miraculous work through the difficult trial of barrenness had nothing to do with that woman, but had everything to do with God's great plan. And that's what I want us to think about in our lives. That God has a plan for who? Not just us. Because I know in my mind, and you probably don't think this way, when I say us and when I say the world, I think of everybody. But when I say me, it's like, whoa, God really has a plan for me. God cares about me as an individual. God cared about Manoah's wife. And she could be fruitful even in her barrenness. And how was she to be fruitful? Not necessarily in the point of having a kid, but how was she to be fruitful while being barren? Trusting God. Saying, okay, God, I trust you. I don't understand. Trusting God, obeying God, walking with God. And that's how you and I can be fruitful. Remembering God cares about you. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what physical problems you may have. It doesn't matter what emotional problems you may have. What about the demoniac of Gadara? Did God care about him? Yeah. So we may have physical problems or emotional problems. You may not be barren right now or going through a barren time. But when you do, you can be fruitful on Thursday. When we're not around our church family to be encouraged. And you ever been real discouraged? You go to church and you get encouraged and then you're home and it's like, oh, all over again? Like that happens to me. Anybody else? Right? I mean, oh, but God wants us to be fruitful on Thursday. When we aren't around other believers, maybe around our family members, maybe you've got other things to do, but God wants us to be fruitful, and that was the same with Manoah's wife. So number one, God cares about you. But as we think about the barren times of our life, not only does God care about you, God cares about others. Remember, what did verse 1 say? Which others in Manoah's life did God care about? The children of Israel. So yes, God cared about Manoah's wife and her barrenness and her struggles. And Manoah, am I going to ever have a son to carry on my name? But then God cared about the children of Israel because he was using a nobody with no name listed to have a son that God was going to use in an incredible way. And it wasn't just important that Samson be known by people. But I find it incredible that Manoah's wife was patient through these tribulations and trials and trusting God. I don't believe she was a bitter woman. Now, she went through some struggles with her son as you continue on. But as we know the character of God, God uses, yes, broken individuals, but broken individuals who walk with him. We can see that throughout history. God used Noah. Noah what? Walked with God. And we see that with so many others. God cares about others. So in your time of brokenness, don't get so self-focused that you have just a pity party. It's all about me and nobody cares. And maybe nobody cares. Sometimes it seems like nobody cares because nobody cares. And that's hard. But the reality is, who does care? God does. And you may say, all of my friends have forsaken me. Didn't David say that in the Psalms? But God cared. And Manoah's wife could trust God because God had a plan for her life. He cared about her. But he cared about others and wanted to use Manoah's wife in others' lives. So God cares about your immediate family. As you go through barren times of life, God doesn't just care about you. He cares about your immediate family. Now in my household, there are eight. God cares about all eight of us. But you know, in my barren times of life, God isn't just thinking about me. He's thinking about my wife and my kids. And how he wants me to trust him so that I can be fruitful during that barren time so that they can glorify God as well. Being fruitful. God cares about others, your immediate family. Jesus raises Jairus' daughter in Luke 8, verses 40 through 56. God cared about his immediate family. It wasn't just his own heart that he's trusting God, but his daughter. Your fellow countrymen. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He cared about his own fellow countrymen. And we know that we're reminded that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God cares about you, but it's not just about you. God cares about others around us. We can't get so self-focused, whether in good times of life or in bad times of life, because I'm not everything. In fact, really, in the grand scheme of things, I still am nothing. But God wants to use a nothing so that others around me can glorify God too. And that was the situation in Manoah's wife, in her life. He cared about her heartaches. That I'm sure she cried out to God, just like Hannah did. But God cared about her. And then God cared about the people around her and said, I'm going to use you to have a young man that we'll call Samson. But not only does God care about you and God cares about others, number three, we remember as we look at this chapter that God cares about his plan. God cares about his plan. Verse number three, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and told her, hey, you've not had any kids, you will. Verse 4, now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. And we can continue on. We don't have the time to read into all this. I guess my big focus on Wednesday evenings is, hey, here's some basic meat. Now you get to dig and do the rest and enjoy being fruitful on Thursday with this. But as we think about this, God cares about his plan. His plan was for the children of Israel. Does God still have a plan for the children of Israel? Yes. God has not forsaken them. And so we think that aspect. But God had a plan for them. 40 years. Had God forgotten? No. But he heard their cry. God had a plan. Not simply for the children of Israel, but for Manoah and his family, that they individually could glorify God. So God cares about his plan to work on behalf of people he loves. Jeremiah 29, 10 through 14, we won't read through all this. I know it's time here. It looks like our kids are already out. But verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." But 10 through 14 really goes through this. God cared about his plan. God has a plan. He's not just said it and said, "Ooh, how are we going to fix that one? Oh, we got to do something there." But God not just has a plan in the global economy of life, but he's got a plan in Munith, Michigan to be glorified. God cares about his plan. But you and I are involved in that plan. And the only way that God will work out his plan, he'll use people, but he wants to use you. And in your times of barrenness, will you let him? Let's be fruitful on Thursday by remembering God cares for me. And God cares for others around me. And so, God, I'm going to trust you. Would you use me? It doesn't mean our life problems will go away. Maybe our life's problems will never go away. But God still wants us to be fruitful and use us in the lives of others to work on behalf of the people he loves, to work on behalf of individuals. Back to that Luke 8, 40 through 48 passage we see. Aren't you thankful that God cares? Let's let God use us tomorrow. Some of you already know what your tomorrow is going to look like. Some of you in here already know you're going to be discouraged when you wake up. Right? So, what do? We take God's strength and we need to be fruitful when we're barren on Thursday. Some of you think, hey, tomorrow's going to be pretty good. And you might get a shocker of a news story that just happened. What? And in our time of barrenness, we can be fruitful and trust God, remembering he cares. Father, we thank you for your love. God, I pray that you would be glorified. Would you make a difference in our lives? I thank you that you care. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Yes. I was thinking that Sunday morning it'd be a pretty strong smell.